So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. The first online Wisconsin State Democratic Party convention will happen on Friday, and so it's a great time to talk to four of the eight Democratic Party congressional district chairs about what's happening in their districts, how they feel about this politics in this most unusual time. So rather than me introduce all four of the Democratic chairs, I'm gonna call the roll here, and I'm gonna start with the first district, Mary Jonker. Your name, of course, where you live, how long you've been a party chairman, and the most interesting or challenging part of being a party leader in this unusual year. Keep it short, please, because we got four talented people on the show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Mary Jonker. I live in Franklin, Wisconsin. I live on the northern edge of the 1st Congressional District. I've been a chair for 3 years, and the most challenging is just keeping in touch with all the counties. I know there's chairs that have a lot more counties than I do because I only have six, but it's still challenging.
Right.
to keep in touch, and they're all different. I think no matter where in Wisconsin, our counties are different depending upon the chair.
Thank you very much. Second district, calling the roll, Noah Lieberman. Where from? How long you been chair? Most interesting challenge.
Hi, I'm Noah. I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I've been the chair of the second CD for 1 year now. I think the most interesting challenge of this year is how we're going to reach voters and organize with so much limited face-to-face contact without being able to go and knock doors to the extent that we're used to. It's posing some really interesting challenges and some interesting opportunities for us to meet voters in new ways.
Thanks, and I want to come back to that. Calling the 6th District, Ryan Sorensen. Same question, sir.
Sure, Steve, thanks for having us on today. My name's Ryan Sorensen. I am the 6th District Chairman. I'm from Sheboygan, so right on the lakeshore here on Lake Michigan. I'm a younger chairman, obviously, and I've been the chair for the 6th District for a year now.
Okay, and biggest challenge?
I think there's a lot of big challenges coming our way, too, especially as we move forward in the age of virtual and social distancing, making sure that we're connecting with voters and making sure folks get out to vote safely, and making sure that everyone's public health and safety is protected.
And last but never least, the 7th District, Kim Butler. Tell us about you and the challenges that you're facing up there and the busy 7th District, because you just had a special election.
We did. Thanks, Steve. It's good to be here. Yes, we faced a lot of those challenges in Tricia Zunker's contest against Tom Tiffany, which happened on May 12th, and then also the April 7th election. I should go back, though, and say I'm Kim Butler. I'm the 7th CD chair. I live in Balsam Lake, which is in Polk County on the western border of the state, also the western edge of the 7th district. You may have heard me laugh a little when Mary said she had six counties because I have 26. And in one way, that's been a good thing because we're used to meeting on Zoom. I started doing that last year when I became chair of the district. I got tired of conference calls with 30 people on them. So the Zoom format's been good for us, and we're just plugging away as normal. But our challenges have been getting nomination papers signed for people, and also Tricia's election, getting people to vote safely, to absentee vote, and also just to let people know that there was a special election, which was a big problem. Going forward, at least everybody knows that they're supposed to vote on November 3rd.
And just a PS, Kim has put her name on the line. Are you aware that she's running in the 28th Assembly District? So she's stepping up. Okay, now I've got a list of questions and not everybody has to respond to all of them, but it's just kind of popcorn, whoever wants to go first. And then we'll move through my list of questions. Mood of Democrats in your district. Somebody start, I don't care who.
Sure, I think I can start with the 6th district. I think the mood of Democrats, I think with a lot of the news that's been going around with this pandemic, with all these protests supporting the Black Lives Matter movement going around the world, I think it's evident that we need a leader right now that's going to step up. And I think it's Donald Trump's lack of leadership is much more evident than it's ever been as we endure these challenging times as a country. Just the other week, he was hiding out in his bunker instead of leading the nation. And this, there's so many opportunities to unify us as a country. And he's neglecting his duties right now. So I think Democrats are fired up. They want new leadership. Joe Biden, I believe, just passed the threshold and amount of delegates to be the nominee. So there's polls going out there that show the wind is behind his back. I think Democrats are ready to do what we can do. I know in the 6th district, we're passionate as well. We got 3 fantastic candidates that are running against our incumbent congressman. While we know it's an uphill battle, we got to hold their feet to the fire and make sure that we're pushing forward policies that are going to help move this country forward.
Okay. Somebody else? Another precinct weigh in, please.
In the 7th, I think we're pretty excited. Trisha moved the needle quite a bit, I believe 5 points in her election against Tiffany, and she is nothing if not determined and persistent. So she's right back out there the day after the election, getting her signatures and working on her fall campaign. And I think that Congressman Tiffany is in Washington now and continuing to reveal his agenda and his beliefs, that that's going to galvanize more support for Trisha. I had the opportunity this weekend to do some phone calling for Biden, and the responses that I was getting on the phone were very positive. Some people are very, very angry about President Trump's response, and it's showing. So people are getting fired up. We don't know what's going to happen. This could be the blue wave will finally hit Western Wisconsin, which it really hasn't so far. So we're hopeful.
Noah, you were going to jump in, please.
Yeah, Democrats in the 2nd District are incredibly determined. If you look at the turnout and the efforts we had in the Supreme Court election earlier this year, and then in terms of the protests and the number of volunteer slots we're filling right now, I think it's clear that Democrats are eager to find some way to take the energy and the frustration they're feeling at the current administration and turn that into real action.
Okay, and Mary?
I think the word Ryan used works for us, fired up. People are fired up. They're ready to start working. They're volunteering more than they have in the past. Our organizers are organizing very, you know, really well, and are all ready for this election to come. We have 2 candidates for our congressional district, so we'll have a primary, and there are more state candidates than I've ever seen before in this district.
Okay, thank you. Kim talked about it earlier, so maybe if the other district chairs could jump in. How has online only changed how you stay in touch with Democrats in your district? Kim, I'm disqualifying you because you already talked about that. Please, somebody else.
Yeah, I think in the 6th district, it forces us to innovate and try new things that we haven't done differently. There's always different tactics. Every few election cycles, folks try new different things with social media targeting, phone calls, emails. Zoom is becoming very more popular for when we're having meetings, collaboration, talking, discussions, and just kind of meeting our neighbors, you know, that are across on the other side of the district. I think it's pushing us to think differently outside of the box, and how we're communicating with voters too. I know we haven't been knocking on doors because of this pandemic that we're all facing right now. And looking at the April election, it showed that we still can have a huge impact while we're not having that direct face-to-face contact, but shifting a lot of our content online, talking to folks on the phone, talking to folks on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those other social media platforms as well too. It's a good sort of sense feeling that we're still pushing out, letting folks know that the Democratic Party is for the working class people of Wisconsin, even though we can't do it door to door.
Question for Mary and Noah: are you finding any of your members who are not comfortable using Zoom?
I think that we see that there are some folks who, either due to having a suboptimal internet connection or because they're just not as plugged in online as before, had a bit of a hurdle to that at first. But I think as we continue to move forward, we're really trying to make it as open and as accessible to folks as possible, making the instructions on how to use it as clear. I think nobody would say that Zoom is better than meeting in person, but for what we can do right now, it's really serving a lot of our needs and making it so that we can have those constructive conversations and plan for the months ahead as best we can.
How about you, Mary?
What I see is the people that are having problems with Zoom is they don't have access. They don't have a computer, they don't have internet. So that's really difficult for them to participate. And we're working through that. But in general, we do get a good turnout when we have Zoom meetings or Zoom trainings.
Okay, my next question requires a one-word answer on each of your parts. Top issue in your district. Kim.
Oh, of course you come to me first. Healthcare.
Healthcare. Okay. And Mary?
Gerrymandering.
Redistricting. Noah.
Redistricting.
Healthcare.
Healthcare. Ryan?
Infrastructure.
Please elaborate. Highways, bridges,
everything. Highways, bridges, roads. I think, you know, we talk about virtual infrastructure as well, internet access. I think, you know, I echo, you know, what Kim and Noah said as well, too. Healthcare is a huge one. I think it's hard to pick one issue, but infrastructure, I think, is a big one. Driving around, you know, rural Wisconsin, you got roads that are being neglected. Driving through roads in Wisconsin and the cities, too, you know, need a lot of improvement.
Well, okay, I've got to follow up. Those of you that answered or mentioned healthcare, the COVID-19 pandemic, has it increased, do you think, the public support for a universal single-payer policy? Ryan, you're shaking your head. Yes?
Yeah, I do. I think this pandemic has really showed and highlighted a lot of the inequalities that we have in our healthcare system. You see a lot of communities of color in Milwaukee where there's been hot spots and a lot of outbreaks because these are folks that are on the front line. These are essential workers that might not be paid fairly, or might not have access to healthcare or have places to go get tests in an equitable time as well. So I think it's you really see a big stagger in comparison to folks that don't have accessible healthcare that have been affected by this pandemic.
Excuse me, Noah. You and Kim answered healthcare. Just short PSs on that, Noah.
Yeah, I think if you look back at the primary in Wisconsin as well, healthcare was a front issue is there. And as Ryan was saying, the disparities we're seeing in the system now have just made it an even more pressing issue for folks in our district. We've been really lucky in Dane County to have the COVID crisis be handled really well by public health officials here. But we can see that as you go disparities across the state in different communities, whether that be in poorer communities, in urban communities, we're seeing that making sure everybody has access to tremendous healthcare and tremendous public health is just more important than ever before.
Kim, the stats show that unfortunately COVID has, the numbers are dominated by Southeast Wisconsin, Dane, and the Fox Valley, not Western Wisconsin. So how has the COVID debate shaped healthcare issue in your district?
Well, we have a lot of outside visitors from throughout the 7th District, whether they're from Chicago, Milwaukee, and Madison in the northeastern part of the district, up around Rhinelander and Minocqua, or here in the western side, Balsam Lake and Big Round Lake and Siren and all through the Northwest. People are coming from cities where there are outbreaks, whether it's Minnesota or southeastern Wisconsin. So we're slowly seeing our numbers rise. In my particular county, we had 6 cases for weeks, but in the past 2.5 weeks, it's gone up to 33. And I know that that's minuscule compared to other areas, but that's a 400% increase. Our testing capacity was very slow as a rural hospital. They were not testing anyone unless they showed, you know, multiple symptoms of COVID. So we knew that there were cases in Polk County of people who were extremely sick, but they weren't sick enough to get hospitalized, so they weren't getting tested. And this includes one mom who had a child who had just finished chemotherapy, and she was told to go home.
Wow.
So we still expect a potential rise. We're hoping that the warmer weather and more outside activities will preclude that, but we don't know.
Okay, just a general question. I don't need specific answers. all of you generally satisfied with the way Governor Evers and his administration have handled the COVID-19 emergency?
Yes.
All satisfied? Yes. Okay. Let's move on. Do you support absentee balloting for the presidential election?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I ordered mine already.
Yeah.
Boy, that's 4 for 4. Ryan, go.
Yeah, I think it's so fascinating. You know, our president voted by mail himself. A lot of his top senior officials have done it too. You know, we've been voting by mail since the Civil War. Folks across the military and, you know, voting by mail, if that's a problem, why do we do tax returns and the census and everything else by mail? It baffles me that President Trump is trying to destabilize this institution that we've relied on as a democracy for many, many decades.
Did the other three chairs, did you all vote absentee?
Oh, yes.
In April?
Yes. Yes.
You did. Yep. Nobody went to the polls. Noah?
No. Yeah, I'd also go beyond this to say, I don't think it's just COVID. We need to be doing everything we can to make sure that our democracy is accessible to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And whether that's expanding absentee voting, automatic voter registration, increasing the number of polls, early voting hours, our democracy functions best when the most people can have a voice. And it's really disheartening to me that Donald Trump, Robin Voss, and the Republican Party have been working so hard to make it so that people cannot participate in our government.
Yeah. Well, I want to parse this issue a little bit. Do all of you, though, still believe that there should be an option for in-person voting on November 3? Or does somebody want to argue we should just do absentee mail?
I think there has to be an option because I talk to a lot of people who don't trust the mail and you're just not going to get them to trust it. They also want their sticker. And they also love to see their ballot being cast. They've been doing it for years. Some people that I spoke to have been in the military or lived in other countries and did absentee balloting for a long time, and they very specifically want to go to the polls. But it's frustrating because not everybody up here has access to internet. Providing an ID, especially during a pandemic, when libraries were closed and copy machines weren't accessible, was very difficult. And we tried as much as possible to help people safely. But the whole uploading your ID and registering to vote is not as easy as Republicans make it out to be.
Ryan, some Fox Valley votes, including, I think, for Representative Hintz, got lost.
Yeah, and I think that just demonstrates, you know, the fact that our legislature needs to focus on making sure that our local municipal clerks can handle voting elections as well. I think, you know, the Republicans threw every wrench, you know, that they had to destabilize this election and to create problems. And I think you saw that. You know, we were not prepared because the Republicans didn't want to step up. You know, they're the majority in the state legislature. Why aren't they stepping up and helping, you know, local clerks out? I serve on our city council in Sheboygan. You know, and thankfully our operation was run smooth because we had the volunteers and teamwork to get that done. But a lot of these smaller communities, you know, if it's just one part-time person and they see a, you know, 100% increase or of folks requesting an absentee ballot, you know, they're going to be overwhelmed and you're going to have problems happen. So I hope the Republicans step up and do something, provide some sort of option and leadership on this.
Okay, your first online state convention is Friday. Your party leaders, how are you encouraging your members to participate? How are you going to participate? Let's start with the first district. Mary.
Okay. Well, most people are already delegates and they plan on participating. Even before we went to an online convention, they had signed up as delegates. So they're dedicated. We have an election, so, you know, it's a DNC election, and people want to be able to vote for that.
So you expect your rank and file members in the first district to watch that?
Yes,
Friday?
I do.
Okay. Noah, second district?
Yeah, I think folks are going to be able to participate just fine. It's a little sad because this year's convention was supposed to be in the second CD. So we're sad that we're not going to get to welcome all of our party members to our district. But it is fantastic that it's going to be so accessible to folks that folks aren't going to have to travel, book a hotel room. I know that's opening this convention up to a lot of people who haven't been able to attend in the past.
Okay, then Ryan, then Kim.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed we're not going to all be able to meet together in the Wisconsin Dells. I was so looking forward to this convention when I found out it was in the Dells. Conventions are always a fun time, but folks understand, you know, public health is a top priority. So a lot of our folks will definitely be tuning in and streaming the live convention. We do have a DNC elections as well, so people will be participating and they're energized about that.
Kim, if you've got some internet broadband problems, you're going to be able to follow it from the Great Northwest.
I am. I will admit that we had less interest in people being delegates because it was a trimmed down convention. And a lot of people love to go and visit and meet people and see national speakers. Last year, I think we had Pete Buttigieg and other prominent speakers in addition to the whole range of candidates. So that will be less this year, but I'm excited. We have a great bunch of people running to be DNC representatives. And I know that we will have speeches. So I like conventions and I like hearing speeches.
Well, let's focus on the potential Democratic National Convention and I'll work it in reverse order. My question, do you think there will be an in-person DNC convention in Milwaukee or should it, for safety reasons, be virtual online only? And I'll reverse the order. Kim, you're up.
I can't really say. I hope so. I have a hotel reservation there. I will be a volunteer, but I will admit that I'm debating whether that's a safe thing to do at this point, particularly in Milwaukee, which has been so hard hit. I would be extremely disappointed because I went to the 2016 convention in Philadelphia and it's an amazing experience. And I love Milwaukee and I wanted it to be showcased to the rest of the nation, but I think it's going to either have to be severely trimmed down or partially virtual.
Okay, working it backwards. Ryan, you're up.
Yeah, I really hope we can have one in person. I know we need to follow public health guidelines as well, so if it's not safe and we have to do a virtual one, you know, that's what it is. And I hope if that does happen, I hope the National Democrats can commit to Milwaukee hosting the convention in 2024. I think that's vital. I think Milwaukee is a hidden gem for our entire country. And I was so looking forward to showcasing that and showing the world, you know, the potential that Milwaukee has to offer.
Noah, you're up.
Yeah, I'd echo everything my colleagues have said, but also just add that it's so nice having the faith in Joe Biden and the Democratic Party to listen to public health officials and not go against best safety practices just for their own egos, as we're seeing happening with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Mary.
I think if we have any in-person convention, it's going to be really scaled down. And like Kim, I was going to volunteer. I'm not sure that I want to go out and volunteer. Especially as Milwaukee starts to open up and, you know, people are not wearing masks, people are going out to dinner, that kind of stuff. But boy, we're a real loss to Milwaukee. The state worked so hard and Milwaukee worked so hard to get this organized and they really deserve it.
Okay, I want to respect your time. I want to respect your time. I've only got two more questions. What issue, one or two, should Mr. Biden emphasize to win Wisconsin on November 3rd? Noah, why don't you start?
Like I said, I think it goes back to healthcare.
Thank you.
We're a state that never expanded in the way that we could. And I think promising people an opportunity to have great healthcare, no matter where you work, no matter where you live, would be a fantastic step.
And Mary, you said reapportionment. Do you think that's a winning national issue?
I don't think it's a national issue, but because I think that healthcare is a more important issue nationally. Okay. So I think he needs to focus on that. Also focus on the economy, getting people back to work. I think those are issues that are important to the people of this, you know, of this state.
Kim, please.
I would say leadership and unifying the country. I think people are very tired of all this bickering and fighting and policy driven by egos, and Vice President Biden is showing that he can bring the country together and that he's after our best interests as a nation, not his own poll numbers or his election. And I think that people want someone that can say, we're one America and let's act like one and I'll help you. And I think that's what he's going to do.
Ryan, please.
Definitely echoing what all my other colleagues have said as well too, but I think another important issue for Wisconsin specifically is definitely agriculture. I think we have seen the impact that our small farms have been dealing with for years, and it's just been exacerbated even more with this pandemic.
The my next question, and I warned you guys I'd ask this. Who should Mr. Biden pick as a vice presidential candidate? Oh. Strongest. Ryan, you're up.
Tammy Baldwin.
Oh, that was quick. Mary.
I think whoever Joe Biden picks, that it will be someone that I could support 100%. So I'm going to let him make that decision.
You're not going to throw out a name there?
There's so many I could throw out, yeah.
Okay. Noah.
I think somebody who's going to energize the younger, more progressive voters who have felt a little left out of his movement so far. I really like Elizabeth Warren, but there are so many great candidates who could fill that role for him.
And Kim.
Well, it's a great field that he's choosing from, but my personal favorite is Val Demings from Florida. I think that she can energize and bring new voters and younger voters, as well as Blacks and people of color, and that will be a big strength to his campaign, as well as the electoral votes, I think 29 in Florida.
Yeah. I told you guys I only had two more questions, but I'm a journalist. I've got to ask one more quickly. The national protests, does that help or hurt your party's chances? Or is that too divisive? Noah, your thought?
I think beyond helping or hurting the party's chances, what it's really doing is helping this country have a discussion that we needed to have a long time ago. Okay. I think regardless of what the outcome is, how this affects the outcome of the election, it's going to make it so that the folks in power have to have a discussion at all levels of government about how we're going to address racial inequities in our justice system. And I really applaud it for bringing that conversation to the fore.
Yeah. Mary?
I agree with what Noah said, that I think it just helps our country. I do think that it helps the Democrats, I think, because people see the things that we believe in, equality for, I don't want to say for everyone, for people who are people of color and what's happening to them.
Okay, Kim?
I think that people are seeing that we really need to make a lot of changes in this country. And one way to do that is protesting and, discussion as they are. But another way to do it is vote. And I'm hoping that a lot of people will see that they need to do organizing and action, but they also need to vote the prosecutors and the mayors and the local officials who can start this change at the bottom all the way up through the presidential election.
And Ryan, final thought, please.
Yeah, I think that this movement needs to supersede partisan politics. I think it's really driving a conversation that our country does desperately need to have. And I think you're seeing leadership step up on this. I mean, the Democratic Party just today in the House of Representatives unveiled their plan. And what's the Republicans' plan? You know, they offer nothing of substance to bring about change and help communities of color at all. What we've seen.
Thank you very much. I want to thank Mary Jonker of the 1st Congressional District. I want to thank Noah Lieberman of the 2nd. I want to thank Ryan Sorensen of the 6th and Kim Butler of the 7th. And have a great convention, both state and whatever happens nationally. And thanks so much for participating in this. It's been a fun show. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve,
Thank you so much. Yes.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.